children are coming to school agitated. In some instances, it's a product of issues at home in terms of the family dynamic. And so kids are just coming to our schools with more and more behaviors that are a real challenge and an obstacle to learning, not only for themselves, but for their classmates.
You're here with Brenda Huber, who is from Illinois State University and an expert in early childhood behaviors. Brenda, how much of this comes to you from the home, and how much can you really affect by the time a child gets to school age?
We know that statistically, well over half of the kids that we have in schools have experienced some real adverse experiences prior to coming to school and ongoing. Some people call that trauma, you know, those experiences that are so emotional and upsetting that they have an impact on the way the child learns. And there's quite a bit we can do in the schools to teach children how to manage those emotions so that they don't serve as a barrier to learning.
Before we get to some of those techniques that you use to help children through this, what are the types of traumas specifically? What do you see commonly?
You know, there's, of course, abuse and neglect, which is kind of where everybody's head goes when we talk about trauma. But there are a lot of other things, witnessing violence in a neighborhood, or even some of the things that kids are exposed to in the media, as well as in their own families.
So, Mark, what do you do? How do you help them? What's step one when a child comes with trauma or a behavioral problem?
Well, that's kind of what we've been doing as part of our behavioral health in schools group. Over a year ago, we convened this group in McLean County, and with the intent, the basic intent was to address the question, how can school personnel tell us more about the behavioral health needs of our kids, and what can we do about it? And so corresponding to that is really inventorying what resources do we have in schools to address that, be that guidance counselors, social workers, psychologists, and where are we still lacking, and where do we need those supports from social service providers? Are they supports that we can bring into the schools in the way of curriculum that target those issues? So for the last year, we've been meeting regularly with a group that includes our school personnel, our social service personnel, our providers, to try to get a handle on, all right, what resources do we have, and where are our gaps, and how can we better align our efforts to try to bridge those gaps.
Brenda, what specific techniques do you use or practices do you have? Mark's given us a nice overview.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we realized as we looked at the needs in the community is that teachers and educators were telling us that the number one resource they went to when they had kids with difficulties were the police or maybe DCFS, but not necessarily accessing supports. And we realized that many children have needs. Well, all of our children have needs, obviously, but we had children not accessing the supports that were intense enough or frequent enough. So we divided up our entire population of kids into four categories. There are kids that don't need anything but the regular school day and the natural supports that are happening. But there are children that need a little bit more to get their social-emotional development on track. And so for those kids, we do things like groups, targeted groups that might be supporting, say, anger management or how to cope with anxiety, those kinds of things. And then there are kids that have already really developed some significant problems, and we do a lot of individualized work with them. And we're coordinating with the community resources so that those needs at that level don't fall only on the school psychologists and school social workers and school counselors, but also utilize the expertise that we have in the community in a really coordinated way.
Do you give the children and students these services right in the school, or where do they go outside of the school for these services?
Most often we're providing the services right in the schools because it does overcome these barriers to transportation and other things, especially in the rural areas of McLean County where it's a long distance to get to a provider. And the schools have been really the service hub for those youth. And then we're piloting some programs that put community partners in schools and extend beyond the school day and also provide services in homes and other community settings.
Mark, you mentioned that one of the first thoughts that people have when they encounter a child with a behavioral problem is call the police, get the police in. Should that be a last resort?
A last resort in terms of depending on what the issue is. I mean, the county in their plan is spending a significant amount of resources to get all of our first responders trained in a lot of crisis skills. You know, we've had a lot of individuals get trained in mental health first aid. We're going to have more individuals trained in mental health first aid to understand how to react and respond to that. There's a training that's targeted to adults, and there's a training that's specifically targeted to youth. Our nurses in many of our schools have actually gone through the youth mental health first aid, and those trainings continue to be offered.
How well are teachers equipped to deal with behavioral issues in the schools?
You know, there's a lot we've been doing in this group to look at what teachers are mandated to be trained in, because there are a number of things that the law requires them to be trained in, and what they need, and what they need to support the more social-emotional needs of our students. And so there's a concerted effort right now in the county to be intentional about the training of teachers so that they're getting exactly what they need for working with the youth. The other thing is that we're partnering with some community agencies to bring in some evidence-based programs to prevent suicide and to prevent the use of substances to cope with difficulties. And so I think in those ways, if we can get those programs to virtually all students as they age through, we're also providing supports to teachers to apply those skills that the children are learning, apply those throughout the school day and in other settings.
How much of an issue is suicide among the school age population that we have here in the county?
I work in several counties around this area. Interestingly, our data in McLean County shows that our number one problem is bullying. Mm-hmm. All kinds of bullying is our number one reported concern from youth. That doesn't necessarily translate into suicide or suicide attempts. Our suicide attempts are not any higher than surrounding counties. However, in a recent needs assessment done by our hospitals and our health departments, suicide and coping skills around suicide to prevent suicide was one of the top three priorities that they came up with. And so some of the programming that's happening now in the schools has come out of that needs assessment.
How much help or pushback, shall I say, do you get from parents? Because I would imagine that parents are a big part of helping children who do have behavioral problems. Mark or Brenda?
I think a lot of that comes down to how it's presented. A lot of times, some parents are really struggling with what to do with my kid. And if we have the opportunity to present them with some solutions and some options, I think you would be hard-pressed to find very many parents that wouldn't embrace that opportunity. By and large, opposition to this help is not there, and in many cases, I think it's welcomed.
Brenda, what are we lacking? What do we need to do going forward?
We have quite a few resources in McLean County, so our efforts have been to figure out how to maximize those resources so that we don't have a bunch of people doing the same things that might not be as needed. You know, for example, everybody going into the same school building while there are other school buildings that don't have any community agencies coming in to provide support.
Is that a situation where some schools have nothing and others have a lot?
Sure. So we're being really intentional about how we make sure that students have equitable access to these kinds of supports.
So many social service agencies, school-related educational agencies are really struggling under the budget cuts or the budget impasse in Springfield. How has that affected your work in the schools in mental health?
It's really been tremendous. The schools are really struggling, even though, publicly, people think the schools are one place that's getting money. They're not getting the money that they need in order to really meet all the needs of the children. What we know is that if we don't address the social-emotional needs, learning is compromised. And when we do provide those social-emotional supports for all children, we see academic performance and overall graduation rates and things improve.
Well, Mark Gentry of the Regional School System and Brenda Huber of Illinois State University, thanks so much for talking about this very important issue.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Judy Valente.